Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing.
And Bubba Wallace.
You know what's the worst part of a race? A rain delay.
Sitting around, waiting for the track to dry, is dull.
But instead of waiting, we hang out with Chumba Casino.
Social casino slots, bingo, solitaire, plenty of fun to keep us entertained.
So why let a rain delay slow you down? Play now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Data centers don't wait, and neither should your supply chain. From power and connectivity to racks and critical power, Graybar brings the products and the experience data centers need now. And with deep inventory and logistics expertise, we keep projects moving from first delivery to final install. With hundreds of locations and a nationwide delivery fleet, we help you bring facilities online on time and on budget. Yep, Graybar does that.
When equipment breaks down and operations come to a halt, every single second counts. So why is your maintenance team spending 60% of their time doing anything but turning wrenches? Maintain X is the AI-powered maintenance and asset management system that helps your team get back to actually fixing breakdowns. No more searching for manuals. No more hunting down parts. No more drowning in paperwork. With MaintainX, your team can access manuals from anywhere, create new procedures in minutes, and turn voice notes into clear and complete work order feedback. What used to take hours now only takes minutes. Keep your operations moving and your wrenches turning. Join over 13,000 maintenance teams that are already fixing more and filing less. Try MaintainX for free today. Go to MaintainX.com/AI. That's Maintain and the letter X.com/AI.
Hello, friends. Welcome to Pod Maverick After Dark. I've got the branding wrong on the video podcast, but it's August and I don't feel like changing it, largely because that would mean I would need to go relearn how to edit our structures, and I don't want to do that. I'm Kirk Henderson, joined as always by Josh Bow. How you doing, Josh?
Doing okay, as always. We're getting closer and closer to things actually mattering. So
no, we're
not. That's exciting.
We're really far away. No, we're in the absolute...
Everyone's optimistic now, so I'm gonna be optimistic.
Too. We're in prime fantasy football season, baby.
We really are. We really are.
We're here to give you our sleeper picks.
Yeah.
It's so hot. This summer has been rough. I just can't.
The last few weeks has been tough.
And so it's like my will to do stuff is like out the door. For us,
if you want to do stuff when it's this hot, you have to pay for it. Like,
that's right.
Sometimes I'm just like, can we just go for a walk? And it's like, no, you can't because it's 105 and there's no clouds.
I took the kiddos to the neighborhood pool at 6 o'clock yesterday, and getting in it was like getting into disgusting warm bath water. And I'm just like, you know, and after about 25 minutes, my eldest was like, can we go home? And I'm like, yes, we're going to leave right now. I'm just going to go back. And I'm going to watch Monsters, Inc. for the 300th time this summer. Yeah. It's been my deal. Since we've been on a fair number of news points, we're actually going to lead with Kevin Gray, who's hanging out in the chat. Hi, Kevin. Kevin Gray of DLLS Sports had a exclusive interview with PJ Washington. PJ Washington held a basketball camp on Saturday. I thought about signing my son up for it, but it was $125 for 3 hours, and I said no. At that basketball camp, he talked with PJ Washington, and PJ Washington seems to be pretty. He used the words, quote, super confident that he's going to be a Maverick on opening night after long talks with both Masai Ujiri and Mike Schmidt. Did you have any reaction to that?
My reaction is, I think a player saying anything like that in August is you just have to take it with a big grain of salt. Not saying that PJ is lying. He's not. He's clear. Like, there's no reason for him to. I just mean it to say it now in August, you know, things change. Things change very, 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 very quickly. And if Masai and Mike Schmitz and the Mavericks front office plan on trading PJ, I don't know if they're necessarily going to sit him down and be like, you know, at this moment and be like, hey, we're going to move you, you know, because I don't know if they are. Who knows? I'm sure that if someone calls them tomorrow and it's like, hey, we'll give you two firsts and this guy for PJ, like, you know, thank you, PJ, for your service, and we'll see you later. So I believe he was told that, and I understand why he was told that, but, you know, I wouldn't put too much stock into it just because of the, you know, how crazy the league is every day.
So here's why I believe it, and I'm believing it less from PJ Washington in any discussions and more from the fact that the trade market is what it is. And league business is all but dead. And I think a player like PJ Washington, if we were to go through the Mavericks, like, willingly tradable, like the guys that the team would trade, which we've done before, PJ Washington is the most valuable. And if he's the most valuable, they're not going to take less than what they feel like they should get for him, which, according to previous reports, is a first round pick. Yeah. There aren't many first round picks available. There is a, and then when you get closer to the trade deadline, you know, this is why the Lakers trading everything they had for Walker Kessler doesn't really make a lot of sense to me. Cause it's like the Lakers need PJ, and the Mavericks aren't going to trade him for a fucking pick swap in 2032. Like, it's not happening. And so I think it's likely that he ends up being on the roster through the, like up until the trade deadline. I would say to start the year, I would 100% believe it. Cause I just don't think any kind of,
I
don't think there's anything there.
We'll see. There's usually always a couple moves around training camp. Not necessarily like all teams, but like, it wouldn't shock me if there was like a September trade. Because, you know, you start getting close to those extension deadlines. And so teams start talking again, because a lot of those extension deadlines for players are like October or whatever. Yeah. And so you start seeing some movement around training camp, and, you know, teams are back in the building and stuff like that. And everyone's talking to each other again after being away for vacation. So I think what PJ is saying is totally, he's totally being truthful. Like, I'm not trying to dismay like the interview or anything. It was a good interview.
Yeah.
Kevin, for getting out there, like
getting out there on a Saturday in August.
Yeah. That's hell yeah.
Fucking work.
Yeah. That is work. That's doing the job. So, but you know, I just, you know, anything, you know, it's cliche, but anything can happen, and, you know, we'll see. And the Mavericks roster is just very, very unfinished. And we'll talk about that.
Yeah,
you know, probably after the break, and probably for a while.
Well, and I just want to get this thought off while I have it in my head. The politics of PJ Washington and Daniel Gafford being on the roster, the Mavericks need to address those things loudly, because neither PJ nor Gafford are going to want to come off the bench. And unfortunately, I think both should come off the bench when I lay out who I want playing. That's not to say I don't want them playing anything less than 25 minutes. But, you know, I want the youth movement to begin. I want us to you know, get going with you know, Masai says the team's going to start building for the long haul. Well, let's build for the long haul. Neither one of those guys is going to be on the team in the long haul. Like, it's just the so anyway. Yeah.
No, they also, like, spiritually, they are kind of the last vestiges of the Luka kind of era also. Yeah. Like, those were two 2024 NBA final starters.
Yeah.
So emotionally, I could also see, like, can we move on? Not necessarily to disparage the players at all, but just I could see that. So, but also I could see why, you know, those are two guys that started for a finals team, you know, 2 years ago. So I could see why the Mavericks are maybe holding steady on offers.
Well, and then, so, all right. So that was kind of the main piece of news today. Shout out to Kevin for dropping that and giving us something to talk about. The second thing that we were going to, that was on our kind of rundown that I threw together today was, obviously the passing of Don Nelson. I think he was 86 years old. Yeah. Don Nelson is the Mavericks coach, which has defined my youth as a Mavericks fan.
Absolutely.
42. He was, you know, I'm not going to sit here and lie to anyone. I became a Mavericks fan, a hardcore Mavericks fan during that playoff series against the Jazz where they came back from down 0-2 to win 3-2.
And just about like everyone else our age.
I'm just, yeah. And that's right. And I just want to say it aloud. So I'm not going to act like I was riding with Dirk from the beginning. I'm not a fraud like that. For different reasons. I'm sure I am, but you know, it's you pay attention to the team when they get a Dirk because it was such a weird pick. You know, there's all that. But I really didn't ride with the team until then. And, you know, I saw Jason Gallagher. Did you see this tweet about this? He was at the Don Nelson kickball game. And, like, could you imagine being, like, 13 years old and seeing that?
Oh, he did that.
Yeah, like, that's a fucking lock-in moment. And you know, the Nelson stuff is important to me from, a like, a really far away point of view, because I just don't like when we get farther and farther away from this stuff. I remember specific games. I remember specific feelings. I remember everything like going bad with Don and it feeling, you know, and even back then in the media, it was a little weird. But my, like, in terms of like specific Don Nelson stuff, I wanted to kind of punt to you because for a moment before summer started to get in the way, you had considered kind of writing about it. And I just wanted to know what your thoughts were kind of on Nelson as a coach.
Yeah. Similar to yours. And just that, like, yeah, like I became locked into the Mavs when he was the coach. Like it was the, either the 2001, 2002 season or the 2002, 2003 season. Like that's when I started to go to games with my dad. And like his teams were like, for that to be like your first team, like, God, those Don Nelson Mavs teams were fun to watch. Like just innovative at the time with their spacing and their offensive philosophy, which wasn't like necessarily complex, but just bending, you know, the structures of the, how the NBA was at the time, which was so
telling post, a big that you can do more.
Yeah. It was so forward thinking. And really like everyone has said during the kind of memorial and all the greats that have been speaking out, remembering Don over the last, you know, 2 weeks or so, just emphasizing enough that like the game that we're watching today, you know, Nelson kind of planted those seeds for what we're watching right now, like the way the league is going. And, you know, he was instrumental in me becoming a fan of just basketball in general, because I played basketball like in fourth and fifth grade because I just started becoming taller than everyone, not necessarily because I liked it. It was like, this is what you do.
That's what happened. Yeah.
This is what you do when you're tall and you need to go somewhere during the day. And we don't know what to do with you. And that's what you got to do. And it's like, all right, I didn't necessarily like it. And then, you know, I started watching the 02, 03 Mavs and it clicked for me, and like watching what that team did and thinking of myself as a big at the time, which is funny when you know a big in seventh grade is like 6 feet tall, but you're like, oh, like I don't just have to stand under the basket and rebound, like I can do other stuff. I don't know how much my coaches appreciated, you know, I was practicing more jumpers and stuff at the time, but it was a fun era. Some of my like you said, you kind of remember moments like that King series in 2003, I will remember till I die. Like, I'm not even kidding. Like, that game.
I remember where I was sitting on the couch during that 81-point first half or whatever it was.
I was at that game. I was in person for that game. Yeah. Oh, that game was great. Yeah, it was great. One of the loudest that building's ever been outside of the Dirk retirement game. I remember where I was, the Walt Williams game that went to like triple overtime. I think that was like game four in Sacramento. Like I think I've told the story, like we had just moved, and I was sitting in the living room of our house that wasn't moved in. There was no couch. Like I was just sitting on the floor. And like, I remember before my dad went to sleep, I was like, please hook up the TV, 'cause I have to watch the Mavs game. I do not want to listen to, I think I listened to the last game on the radio or something. And I was like, I can't do that again. We got it like hooked up, and I was just alone because my older brother was in college, and then my younger brother was asleep. So it was literally just me alone in the house in the dark, sitting on the floor with no couch, just watching that game and losing my damn mind, like at that, because the ebbs and flows of that game were outrageous. So I have a lot of fun. Like Don Don Nelson kind of indirectly is the reason why I like basketball. Like, as much say him and Dirk are kind of like tied together with that. Obviously Dirk a little bit more because the players matter more, but Don was instrumental. And I wish we could have seen a little bit more of him around the Mavs before, you know, he unfortunately has to leave us. But that would be like my only like regret was, you know, like he wasn't at Dirk's final, you know, home game, which I know, you know, there are a variety of reasons for that.
There's there's a good reason why he wasn't at that. I
know, like you could do drama reasons, but also he was, you know, he's an old guy who lives in Hawaii and he doesn't necessarily want to take a 10-hour plane ride at his age. Yeah. Sometimes it's just as simple as that. But I wish we could have seen him more. Wish I could have seen him and Dirk like interact one more time. Because he was so instrumental to Dirk's career. I'll always remember like Nelson being very steadfast and not wanting Dirk to play in that 2003 series. Mm-hmm. You know, potentially, I don't want to say saving his career, but you know,
certainly Dirk changing it. Like it changed Dirk, a lot.
Dirk never had a major injury, and like he obviously had a lot of leg issues at the end of his career, but for his prime, he was a relatively healthy guy. And you think about like, what if they pushed him in that series, and what if that developed a chronic? You just think about all the sliding glass doors moments there. God, that just appreciate good. Yeah.
That team, that specific team, you're talking about the 02-03 team, right?
Yeah, the one that they went to the West Conference, the Steve Kerr Spurs, he made four threes in the fourth quarter. They would have won. That team would have won the championship if Dirk didn't get hurt.
I believe that because that Pistons team that beat the Lakers, because they beat the Lakers in the finals that year, right?
No, that was like a Nets, one of those crappy Jason Kidd Nets teams was in the finals that year.
No, because the
Lakers was 04. That Lakers Pistons series was 04. 03, okay. Spurs beat the Mavs, and then it was like Spurs Nets.
Yeah,
it was one of those series that was like 70-70 every game. Yeah, those 03 Mavs would have wiped the floor with that Nets team.
Yeah, I think so too. You're right.
Yeah, God. They would have won the title.
My goodness. Well, and then there's also Nelly's, you know, kind of post Mavericks run where he's responsible for not only like after building Dirk up, he was responsible for knocking Dirk down.
In the
07 Warriors series, which I mean, it's really like that's just such a fascinating thing to consider because he was just involved in so many elements of basketball from a player to a coach, to like a quasi GM.
He had a legitimate NBA, like he was a legitimate player, won a championship as like a key player on those Celtics teams. Like
the Celtics shared this photo of him on their timeline where it's like, man, Don Nelson's handsome cat back in the day. Like, what's going on here? And it's just, you know, as everything in our modern life becomes, you know, somewhat sapped of just weirdos, for lack of a better term, because everything is optimized. Donnie Nelson exists as kind of was like one of the last pioneers, like one of the last weirdos. I mean, he just did everything according to his own beat. I was reminded of Mike Mark Stein told that story that I'd forgotten, frankly, about how he went to it was some basketball award that he got. He was wearing Luka Doncic's and like actively protesting the trade. Like he had nothing to do with the Mavericks and he was pissed as hell at the trade and like wore shoes and is like made a point to like be like, ask me about my shoes.
Well, his son drafted him.
Yeah, you know? No, that's true. And they have like such an interesting international basketball influence, the whole Nelson family. I mean, Donnie drives me fucking crazy because I think he got sick. Like he wanted to keep taking the money and got sick of Cuban meddling and then just kind of half-assed his job for several years. But the fact is, Donnie Nelson is the Nelson family is responsible for so much of modern basketball. So, and we're talking like across the world, they just have key inflection points. The Nelson family is there. So, Anyway, rest in peace, Don. It made me oddly melancholy. I was like, you know, it's not like I'd have like a super nice attachment to him, but it's like I was just really like melancholy the rest of that day.
I wasn't expecting it to. It just kind of came out of, you know, it's not like you got the news. Oh, you know, he's not in good health or like, you know, you just never heard from you. He led a, you know, a peaceful private life in his later
years.
Did you see any of the funeral
coverage? Did you see the Steve Nash joke?
No.
So Dirk wasn't able to go and like sent something to Nash to read. Okay. Nash gets up in front of the in the eulogy as they're talking about it, and the first thing he says is, "Don, why'd you let Steve Nash handle the ball so much? Why didn't you give me the ball more?" it's just really funny.
And I love seeing like my last thing, like seeing Nash and like Finley, like yeah. you know, seeing all the guys from that 03 era, that era, you know, pay their respects was good to see.
All right, we're going to take a short break. We'll be right back. Three main ways to support the show. You know the drill. If you want to subscribe to the show, please do so. We're going to be back kicking off our whatever 19th straight year of Mavs content than you and I have been doing together. We're going to be a little different this year. More on that as we get closer to the season. You can tell your friends, big way. We're a homegrown show. We're also too old to be doing this. And so the support from the fans, quite frankly, from everyone letting us know that they like it, is important. We won't do this if people don't want it. This was something Josh and I started doing well before we had children and more responsibilities, and each year it gets a little bit harder to do. The last way is there's a couple of links if you like sending us money, but really we don't expect anything like that. We'll insert those ads and be right back.
Baseball fans, think you know who's hitting a homer today? Well, FanDuel is giving you a free chance to call your shot with daily dingers. Joining the action is easy. Just make your free pick on who's hitting a home run in their game, and if you're right, you'll get a profit boost to use on your next bet for a chance at extra winnings. You've got nothing to lose and a lot to gain. And don't forget, you can make a free pick every day during the MLB season. It's just another reason why FanDuel is the home for home runs. So, are you ready to play your game today? Join all the action at FanDuel.com/podcast. That's FanDuel.com/podcast to play daily dingers and make your free pick on who's hitting a homer. Play ball and swing for the fences on FanDuel, an official partner of the MLB.
Must be 21 plus and present in Ohio. First online real money wager only. $5 first deposit required. A bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. Restrictions apply. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
You know, recommendations can be great. Maybe someone recommended this podcast, and here you are. But home projects are different. If a podcast isn't your thing, you lose a few minutes. If you hire your cousin's neighbor to mount your TV, you might end up with a lopsided screen and wall damage. Maybe "I know a guy" just isn't enough for your home. That's why Thumbtack works. It matches you with top-rated local pros with photos, reviews, and credentials all in one place. For your next home project, try Thumbtack. Hire the right pro today.
Latte for Keenan?
That's me.
Hey, you're...
Yeah.
Buying a car online on AutoTrader?
Really? But unlike other sites, you can start online, test drive with a local dealer, then finish online or at the dealership.
Cool. Enjoy.
Buy your car online on AutoTrader. Really.
I'm Serena Williams, and I'm healthier on Row. I've lost 34 pounds in a year with GLP-1s, diet, and exercise. On Row, you can access GLP-1 options, including the first FDA-approved GLP-1 pill for weight loss. Go to row.co/journey to see if you qualify. 14 to 20% average weight loss in 1 year in non-diabetics with obesity or overweight with a weight-related medical condition versus 2.2% to 3.1% in placebo arm. RX only. To stay informed about serious side effects, go to row.co/safety.
All right, welcome back. Josh, did I tell you how big these two damn dogs are now?
Oh, your two horses?
My 2 5-month-old 55-pound puppies. So, I had to take them to the vet this week, and I had to take them one at a time. Like, I can't, because I've not been able to train them enough because it's been so hot out. I can't, like, go for long walks because they're paw pads and stuff. So it's just... they just own my house now. It's like my house at night feels like the scene in Jurassic Park where the raptors open the doors and like run through the kitchen and destroy stuff. That's kind of my life. I don't have a good segue for that, but I've just been thinking, it's just been in my head. I don't know what we're going to do come basketball season. Cause like, I'm going to probably have to record downstairs and these two morons are just going to pop up on screen. anyway, so, you know, like we're in the doldrums discussion. Obviously, there's Wings basketball. If you're not watching the Wings, you ought to be doing it. They're a fun team. But the Mavericks stuff, we're kind of at a tail, like the time where we can start, you know, remembering some guys, really. But there was, Josh, you occasionally poke your head on Twitter, not near as much as you used to. And I think you've been witnessing some discussions, which I think were a extension of all of the sports books essentially putting the Mavericks at their over under total from 32.5 up to maybe 35.5, depending on what sports book you looked at. I was personally irritated by the 32.5 because the Mavericks won what, 26 games last year?
Yep, 26.
So you're telling me the Mavericks can't win 7 more games? That's what the sports books are saying. That feels insane to me. I'm not incredibly optimistic about this team because I still think they have some roster holes, but I also think they're no longer actively trying. Like, you and I had a little back and forth about this in Slack. Like, I think that kid was trying to lose insofar as he knew how to within the structure. Everyone was in a weird place by March. They didn't commit like other teams did. You're absolutely right about that, but they did tank, which leads me to think that they could fart to 6 more wins next year. I just think they've improved the roster enough, even with a lot of these questions. And so that's put me in a place of being optimistic, but I also don't know where I land as far as being, can they be play-in adjacent? Can they be, let's just say 12, 11, 10, 9. And that kind of, this whole thing kind of, I think, threw you for a loop where you're just like, why do people think the Mavericks are good? Or is that, am I misunderstanding the statement?
I guess it's not necessarily the optimism, because I'm glad, honestly, like if I'm being truthful, I'm glad people are being optimistic about the team, because like the last 2 years have been such utter dog water.
People were real damn excited about AD, brother. Like, I got yelled at all offseason for AD related non-optimism. Pessimism would be the word I'm looking for there. I'm good at podcasting.
Sure. But overall, in terms of the circles that we run in, I mean, it just, everything felt awful, and people were really down on it, and rightfully so. It was pretty crappy 2 years of everything that happened. So to see people kind of regain a sense of like, hey, they could do this is good, because I don't, like, people shouldn't be negative about the, if you're a fan of the team, like, you're not having, like, I can't imagine that's just fun if you're just like, this team sucks, I don't care, like, why are you even watching? Like, for me, I'm gonna tell you if the team sucks, because that's like part of the gig, at least in terms of how I view it. But if you're doing this for fun and you're like, this team sucks, like, do something else. Like, not necessarily saying like, don't raise criticisms, or don't look at things with healthy skepticism, but more just like, I would rather see people excited for the team than not excited, because quite frankly, like, after that trade, we didn't even know how, like, we had real discussions about, like, is this even going to get enough people eyeballs on it to make it worth it, more so than it already is. Thankfully, Cooper Flagg got here, so that made a big difference. So that part is all, like, fine. There's been, like, an aggressive optimism that I'm seeing lately that's been, like, almost like a you don't know ball if you think this team is going to be bad or something. I'm like, well, I don't know. And the thing for me is the roster, it's so much like, it's all on Kyrie. It's all on Kyrie and Cooper being an all NBA level player in his second year, which maybe he will be. Like, it wouldn't shock me if Cooper Flagg makes one of the all NBA teams this season, then yeah, the Mavericks Vegas win projection right now is probably going to look a little silly. But asking for Kyrie, like, if Kyrie's not on the floor, I'm just, I don't know what's going to happen with their offense and their ball handling. They're like, they have the same issues that they had last season, except now they have Kyrie, and you just don't know how many games you're going to get out of him. But like, Lively and Gafford and all the players that were on the roster that struggled with injuries last season are still here. The players that they added to help shore the weaknesses, which are, guard play and shooting. So you're talking about Marcus Sasser, Sergio De La Rea, who is the Euro that they signed from EuroLeague, Tariq?
I think it's Tariq, but I'm going to call him Tariq.
Okay.
I'm going to call him Tariq. I don't care. Then, he's an American now.
And then Richache, and then Aldama. All, like, honestly, great moves, but like, I don't know how much Marcus Sasser and Sergio De La Rea are playing. I don't know how much Zachary Richache is playing, because if you look at the team, and it's like those guys play the same, and Aldama as well. Like, those guys more or less play the same positions that like PJ, Lively, Gafford, Christie, Flat, like wings and bigs. And then, maybe De La Rea and Sasser can get some burn because like the Mavericks are just so strapped at guard, but you still have Kyrie. Like, how much more are they going to play than Kyrie, Christie, and like Klay Thompson if those guys are still on the roster? So the thing that I'm just wondering how this is going to shake out is a lot of the things that they brought in to help make the roster better are players that are kind of down the totem pole and the depth chart as it stands now. There could be trades and this all clicks together in a way where it's like, okay, well now, Risha Shea is your backup forward because Klay has moved on or they traded PJ or something like that. It's like, okay, I can kind of see it now, but that combined with like the injury stuff, like I just don't know how people feel confident betting on a team that just can't stay healthy. And a lot of those guys that can't stay healthy are still on the roster right now. So that's another part of it is just, they could be awesome and their roster, it's kind of the same. I feel like we're talking about the same things we talked about last year. Like they almost have a really high floor because there's just so many talented players. Like there's just a lot of guys. Like even if the pieces don't fit together as well as you'd like, like they just, their top eight, top nine of their rotation will presumably be some pretty decently quality NBA level guys. Like there's not going to be that big drop off that you sometimes see from teams when they go, into their bench. Cause the matter like Najee Marshall and Klay coming off the bench, like Gafford, if Gafford's coming off the bench or if it's Lively, like those are three guys that could presumably be starters on other teams. So there's that part of it, but then, the fit and the health, I need to kind of see it. It's sure. I need to see it for like 3 weeks and see how it fits together with a new coach before I can really confidently say one way or another. Cause I'm not trying to say they're going to be bad either.
Right.
I'm just saying, I don't know how you could confidently project what this team's going to be because it's just, there's too many question marks.
Well, so this is very difficult for me to talk from an optimist point of view. It's just very weird positioning for me, but I think the overarching thing has to be, we got Cooper and you don't kind of deal.
Absolutely. And that can be it. That can be it.
I really think that's a big part of it because I think folks believe, like, let me ask you a question. Did Cooper's rookie year outpace your expectations?
Absolutely.
Mine too. In almost every way imaginable. Our youngest staffer, Jack, is pretty convinced that the best way forward for next year is for the Mavericks to have Cooper in a kind of, he's the offensive hub. I still don't see that, but that's on the table. And so I think, and this is an insightful comment from one of our longtime listeners, C-Mac. He says, Kyrie first 10 minutes of a game in the last 9 minutes, plug him in here and there. I'm going to circle back to that because that's an interesting thought process here. Is that, if Cooper's really good, then that changes the ceiling for the Mavericks. I think you're right that the floor is really where we're at. And to me, the floor is like 30 is the over under. Because even with, like, let's just assume, like, the way this team is built, it makes me think that with the exception of any concerns about Kyrie, for everybody else, they're kind of expecting injuries because there's lots of redundancy,
There is
like, a lot of redundancy. Where does Santi Aldama play, for example? Well,
he's going to play because Lively's going to miss 2 months.
He's going to miss 2 months. And Gafford misses 30 games a year. Like, we've not, Musa Cisse is going to play minutes. Like, quite candidly, the Kyrie Irving gets him started and brings him home is actually a really interesting idea because then you use the intervening 30 minutes of the game to do what Michigan did to teams last year, which is essentially bludgeon them to death. I mean, the Mavericks have the one thing that I keep sort of forgetting is that Jason Kidd had no defensive principles with this team last year at all. And post Luka, they definitely didn't have any because everybody was so hurt. And so right now I'm very interested to see what is this team's goal going to be defensively. Offensively, we've already heard. They want to play top five in pace, which they were already pretty high in pace last year. They just weren't
They were top 10 in pace last year. Yeah.
They just weren't very good at it. So if they increase their pace on offense while trying to control defensively, maybe there's some there. Like, obviously, I just want to see it. I'm having a very hard time envisioning it because, to me, I think that Sergio De La Rea needs to be thrown into the fire for 15 minutes a night almost immediately. You've got to see what you have there.
And I know. And I kind of agree, but I'm looking at the depth chart.
How do you do
it? Where do those minutes come from?
So I think that, and that's not really, I think that would need to be reframed almost as realism more than pessimism, because this is where I think we should close out talking about the schedule a little bit, because this is where, like, we're talking about basketball kind of in an abstract sense here. It's like, oh, this is how the Mavericks are going to play. You know, Killa Cam says, my floor is 36, my high is 44. Here is where, you know, Brad Townsend, of all people, who is not exactly the grumpy, I mean, he's a grumpy man, but he's not like a Mavs pessimist or anything. He kind of came out and was like, man, these first seven games are shit. And I've been...
He's right.
Like, and for everybody that doesn't know, the NBA has been around a really long time. The first 20 games of your season are statistically significant in terms of how you finish the season. Trade midseason, you know, obviously that throws things out. A huge injury to your star player, that kind of throws things out. But more or less, you look at, you know, 30 teams, 82 games, you look at 50 years of data, there's a lot there. This Mavericks regular season starts in a brutal fashion. They are on the road. They go Houston, Indiana, San Antonio, Miami, Oklahoma City, Houston. Then they play Sacramento.
Finally get a break.
And then they play San Antonio again.
Yeah, and so, then Utah, who's going to be better.
It's I'm just not like, and we're just going to keep going. Like, let me just read this off to you. Utah, Brooklyn, Indiana, Minnesota, Cleveland, Boston, Golden State, Clippers, who I think are going to be bad. Utah, Denver, Phoenix. Like, they are just...
Where are the gimmies?
Where are the gimmies? I just... They're not in this. Now, part of that is because I think the league is just going to be pressing better. And we're... Some of these things are going to suss themselves out as we get through the year, where it's like, okay, well, here's the... God, I don't really see any stretch. What the fuck is happening?
Well, it's kind of the end. Like, they had the most baby, diaper, poopy, smooth, soft butt cheek schedule to start last season than I think I've ever seen since I've started covering the team. Like, their first 20 games last season,
they should have gone 13-7 and they went 5-15.
Yeah, pessimistically they should have gone 13-7. Like, yeah. I mean, that felt almost like Adam Silver being like, we're sorry. Like, we're sorry about the Luka trade, we're sorry that your franchise got detonated. Here is the easiest 20 games to start a season we can give you, so you guys can maybe build up a floor so your fans aren't, you know, having a mutiny outside your arena when you start, because we don't want you guys to start 1-7. And then they kind of did that anyway. And this is the inverse of it. Like, it's crazy how difficult the schedule is on paper to start the season. And I just don't know. Like, where, I guess the one thing I'll say that I kind of like about the schedule is that I love watching the Mavs play against good teams, because I don't learn anything when they beat the Kings by 20 points. So we're gonna know. Like, they're gonna throw them right into the fire. Like, Houston, Indiana, San Antonio, Miami, Oklahoma City, Houston as your first, what, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, your first six games. Those are all six of those teams believe that they're competing for a championship this season. Like, that's fun. That's fun. I don't know how good, like, you know, for the fans, for the Mavericks, in terms of the standings. I don't know.
If the Mavericks come out of that 500, we're
throw a parade, we're raise a banner.
We're like, fuck yeah, we're going to the playoffs. Like, this
put the 3-3 in first six games of 2026 in the banner in the AAC.
That's amazing.
Absolutely. But yeah, I'm just I'm excited about that, because we'll learn about this team really fast, them playing better teams. Right,
well, away. Then there's this closing stretch where
I didn't even look at the end of it.
So they play Atlanta at home on March 15th. On March 17th, they go on the road. Then for the rest of the season, which ends on April 11th, they play four home games.
Wow.
So they finish with 10 games on the road, 5 games at home. That sucks.
Wow.
Well, now, it's just, why does that suck to anybody who's not paying attention? Because, like, you have there's a home bump. There just is, because you're playing at home, you're in your own bed. Road wins are harder even for good teams. So it's like, if the Mavericks are fighting for a play-in spot, for example, let's say they're 11th or 10th or 9th, they're gonna be playing against both the broader schedule and whoever's in front of them. Yep. And again, like, a couple of the staffers were like, I don't give a shit about the schedule in August. Like, there's still too much that can happen. That is very true. But that start is where I start to get a little. It's like the start is like, God dang. I mean, you look through here and it's like they're probably going to be favored against Sacramento, Utah, Brooklyn, and that might be it until, and then Los Angeles Clippers and then Utah again. So that's five teams
in the first month and a half. December through December, basically.
That's not to say they won't win, but it's just this is where it comes through where it's like, okay, I kind of see people's points about the 32 and a half. Shit. Now, anyway, that's why we play the games, and I'm still bullish. I want to be bullish. I'm looking forward to watching this team. You know, this weird – I made a joke today because the stuff surrounding the Lakers ownership group is all just so weird, and apparently Jeannie Buss could, like, stretch things out. She's, like, basically threatened to sue. It's all some big shit show, and I made a joke about Project 2028, and I'm like, I don't actually believe Luke is coming back here, but they are a disaster, and I'm going to laugh about it because maybe by this point in a couple months, I'm not going to have a lot of Mav stuff to laugh about. So I kind of got to enjoy myself. The Mavs don't play on Christmas. Josh, we get to have Christmas and not think about the Mavericks.
That's amazing. I'm actually kind of surprised considering Cooper is the reigning rookie of the year.
Yeah.
But I think too much, like, I think LeBron.
Yeah.
LeBron going to Philly, I think, I almost wonder if that's what caught, because the Lakers are always going to play on Christmas, and I don't know if Philly was guaranteed. Mm-hmm. So I wonder if LeBron was still in LA, would that be the Mavs instead of Philly for the Christmas slot? But,
we get some beautiful times off. Like, they don't have Christmas Eve games anymore, which is good. There's no New Year's Eve game, which it's not like you and I do anything, but I don't really want to be watching the Mavericks on New Year's Eve. Did you see that the Super Bowl, when are they doing All-Star break this year? I got to figure that out. Cause the Super Bowl is on, Valentine's Day, Sunday, February 14th. I can't tell when the hell All-Star weekend's going to be.
It's always around my birthday. So look around February 17th.
You're right. You're right.
Gap starting.
Around okay. There. That's the gap. They bumped it back a full week because it's been on like the All-Star weekend was often around Valentine's Day. Cause my wife would make jokes. I'd be like, I really need to watch the dunk contest. And she'd be like, no, you don't. No, you don't. That's sort of,
you don't need to do that.
Like, yeah, but I do. Yeah. I think good little show here. Do we got any other Mavericks adjacent things to be thinking about? What do you think?
I'm excited for the preseason in the sense that, like, again, it feels like we're in a holding pattern. Like, it is kind of crazy because, like, I feel like last summer I was one of the more optimistic people in terms of looking at the roster and seeing how it would work. And I still kind of feel the same way that I did about this roster as I did about last year's roster, maybe a little bit more, a little better about it, because it doesn't have some certain players that I'm not big fans of or no longer on this roster. But it's like everyone else got way more excited, but like, because naturally, they fired Nico and they fired Kidd. Like, there's a renewed sense of optimism and hope when you bring in new people. So I get it, but it's kind of funny because I kind of feel similarly as I did the last season. And last season, I think I was a little warmer on the team than consensus. And now it feels like I'm a little colder, but I feel like the same because I feel like the roster is kind of structurally the same. It's all bigs and no guards, but obviously Kyrie makes a huge difference. So we'll need to see.
Yeah, it's funny. I have had a lot. I mean, I've muted most of them now so they could all be wishing jihad against me, but I have had a lot of battles against Kyrie super fans. I'll just simply say that I very much look forward to watching him play basketball. And I know there's a lot of people who are like, we need to move off Kyrie. And I'm like, if I'm going to watch 82 games of basketball, I would like to see Kyrie on the team. It's just real,
real
selfish hoops from me.
What's the alternative? Like, it'll be last season all over again.
So the Mavericks, somebody asked a question in the chat. Shout out to Mavs Hive Mind. Is it true that the Mavericks have the most back-to-backs? I'm not sure, but they do have 16. 16 is many. That's going to be another thing you're working against. Shout out to the schedule makers in Dallas here for bumping games back. A lot of the home.
Oh
games
yeah. You got to hit that up. Yeah. Please give me your pro 7 o'clock take.
I've lived on the East Coast for 15 years and I covered the Mavs doing that for 8. I have no idea how I did that 8:45 East Coast start time.
I have, I have no idea.
Because I still stay up late, but I'm just functionally dumb. Like I hit like a wall where I can't really like function. And this was the fact that the Mavericks are bumping back their start times to 7 p.m., their local home start times for most games, is huge. Now, if you are a person who goes to the games, like we're talking season ticket holders, folks that go, like our guy, one of our guys, Jack, goes to 25 games a year or so. He goes to a lot of games. He's like, this is annoying for me. It's like, I get it. But that 7:30 start time becomes 7:45. The 7 o'clock start time becomes 7:15. That extra half hour, 30 times a year, because I'm just guessing that's how many home games will be at seven. I've not done the math. Gives me an extra half hour of sleep for 30 days. Because like I'm very selfish here. You and I, when we do podcasts, we're gonna do things a little differently this year, but that's for another date. We finish recording game ends at 9:50. Let's say the game ends at 9:30. We start recording at 9:45. We record till 10:45. That then lets me spend 20 minutes editing, getting the podcast up by 11:30, checking in with what's going on around the site, going to bed before midnight. That sounds amazing.
It does sound amazing.
Because I was doing, like, you guys got to understand. You don't got to understand. I'm just going to bitch about this thing that I do voluntarily and get paid shoddily for it. But that's my choice. I would regularly stay up till 1:30 or 2 in the morning. Just, you know, I started doing all this stuff largely because I was too amped after games to be able to sleep anyways. And now it's like, oh, so it's really nice. And I know it bothers a lot of fans around the area. Cause like the Metroplex is so big. And like, if you're coming from Burleson or something, like you're having to trek to go to a game and then you're probably having to leave work early. And you know, I'm just going to say that I get it, but I'm happy they're doing it.
Yeah, no, I'm with you. The earlier I can get to bed, the better. Yeah, I mean, shout out to the people that are going to try to be driving through DFW traffic, you know, at 5:30, which certainly sucks. But yeah, we're allowed to be selfish. It's our podcast.
I drove Parker to a basketball tournament out in Duncanville 2 weekends ago, and Duncanville's not a place I've been in 25 years. Mm-hmm. Just because it's a complete opposite side of the earth for me. And it's like when you do those sorts of drives across the metroplex, you're like, man, there really are a ton of people here. Like it just puts it into perspective where it's like you could drive from Allen or Salina, you know, up north there, all the way down Duncanville, DeSoto, and the places to the other side, like the southeast city. It just keeps going. This is why when our old colleague Iztok Franco came here, he's just like, man, this place is bigger than my country. Yeah. Like, what are you guys doing? Well, any other thoughts before we leave?
I don't know. I'm pretty good.
You gonna go see any movies? Anything look good to you?
I don't know. I kind of movied out.
I hear the one with Anne Hathaway, the kind of dinosaur movie is like,
oh yeah, I want to see that.
Shockingly fun.
I want to see that too. But there's nothing like I'm gunning for.
You know what
like
I did? Was. I'm going to tell you this because this is a movie podcast and we talk about fantasy football movies and maybe basketball if we get time. September 17th, I bought tickets to the 40th anniversary of the Transformers animated movie.
Oh, good for
you. Release. And I'm taking Parker and we're going to go and I'm super excited.
Good for you. This is a big deal for you.
I love Transformers shit. Yeah. It's formative for my brain. I'm a 42-year-old man talking about Transformers, but it's like I just have so many visceral memories of like playing with Transformers in my backyard, and I must have watched that movie 1,000 times. And if you've never seen the Transformers animated movie, it is a gas. It's so insane. And it's like got like real 80s music and stuff to it, and then it's got it's voiced by They got Leonard Nimoy and Orson Welles. It's like, what is happening? I mean, right. Now, like, people do that stuff all the time for movies. Like, you can see for, like, it's all sorts of famous people that do voice acting. But back then, I was like, So, anyways, I'm jazzed. So, I'm going to go see that. That's not for a couple of months.
Hell yeah.
It's next month. Basically a month from now. Hey, I'm excited.
Good for you.
All right, everybody, let's stay cool. Those of you who have kids that are back in school, congratulations. We survived summer. And now you no longer got to pay for camps every week. It's very exciting. Everybody else, we will be back probably in a couple of weeks, but you never know. Maybe something will happen. Everybody be good. Go Mavs.
Nerds.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Personal finance can feel like a pop quiz you didn't study for. This podcast is your study guide. On NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast, you'll hear from trusted journalists who explain the why behind major financial decisions. You'll get research-backed insights and clear pros and cons, whether you're planning a big purchase or just want to grow your wealth. Make your next financial move with confidence. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app.